Hello. Welcome to our special Lineberg Information Services podcast on Medicaid changes. I'm Steve Lineberg. With me today is Bernard A. Crooks, Lineberg Information Services Elder Care Planning Technical Editor. Bernie is a certified elder law attorney and founding member of Littman Crooks, LLP, with offices in New York City and White Plains, New York. Bernie is a past president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, NALA, president of the New York chapter of NALA, and past chair of the Elder Law Section of the New York State Bar Association. Bernie, you were recently quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying that the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, DRA, will make substantial changes to the Medicaid rules. What are some of the major Medicaid changes contained in the DRA 2005?
The act, which the president signed yesterday on February 8th, makes three substantial changes to the federal Medicaid laws, along with a plethora of other not insignificant changes as well. The first one is when somebody applies for government-financed health care and they're in a nursing home, they have to show 3 years' worth of their financial statements to the government in terms of the documentation that's required to get Medicaid. Under the Deficit Reduction Act, that three-year period has been extended to 5 years. This presents a tremendous burden on seniors and others with disabilities, and it's more than simply an income tax-type burden where you show the 1099. These seniors will be required to show monthly statements and monthly records from all accounts in which they have a financial interest. The second change is that for seniors who make family gifts to children to help out with college education or grandchildren, or to help out a daughter who had some type of surgery, or to make a gift to a local charity, the prior law had strict penalty provisions for people who made gifts within this three-year look-back period. And then needed long-term care, they penalized you based on the amount of the gift that was made. The difference is, in the Deficit Reduction Act, that penalty does not even commence until you're actually in a nursing home and have applied for Medicaid and would otherwise be eligible but for the gift. Under the prior law, if you made a $15,000 donation to your local church in 2005, and then in 2007, you needed to go into a nursing home, that gift would not disqualify you for government benefits. Under the DRA, if you make that gift now and 4 or 5 years later you need to go into a nursing home because you have a stroke, you would be ineligible to receive the care you need for a period of time depending upon the amount of gift you made. And the third major change in the DRA is that historically this country has placed a great value on the American dream, buying a home. And that has always been exempt if somebody needed long-term care in a nursing home. The DRA changes that so that any equity an individual has in a home greater than $500,000, and the states will have some authority to increase that $500,000 number to anywhere between $500,000 and $750,000. But right now it stands at $500,000. Any equity over $500,000 will disqualify you for government benefits, and you'll either be forced to take out a reverse mortgage or sell the house before the government will pay for your nursing home care.
Bernie, it sounds like seniors have taken quite a hit. Would you go into the look-back period, explain what it is, and how the DRA would change the look-back period on transfers?
Well, this look-back period, as I mentioned, is now going to be 5 years instead of 3 years. And for seniors, this is really an onerous burden to produce monthly statements and records and documentation on all your accounts before the government will pay for your care. Many of these people are widows or widowers, don't have adult children, or the adult children live across the country. And this is going to be a tremendous obstacle to getting long-term care benefits, and I think will also be an obstacle to people getting into the nursing home of their choice, because the nursing homes are going to be concerned about producing this documentation for Medicaid and may insist upon it in advance before making the admission. So I think this is going to have a negative effect on people's ability to get into the nursing home of their choice.
Bernie, would the change apply to all transfers, and are there any exceptions?
Well, any transfers made after the date of enactment, which is February 8th, are going to come under the new rule. And there are certain exemptions in the law. Transfers between spouses are exempt. Transfer to a blind, disabled, or minor child is also exempt. So these are unique circumstances. But other than that, gifting to family members will come under these new rules.
Bernie Crooks, what changes are being made to the way the Medicaid penalty period is calculated for nursing home care?
Well, Steve, this is a biggie. It used to be you made a gift and you were penalized at the time you made the gift. So if in 2005 you made a gift to a family member, the penalty on that gift would start at the time you made the gift. And as long as you waited for that penalty period to run before you went into the nursing home, you would still be eligible to receive government-financed health care, Medicaid, in the nursing home. Under the DRA, even if you made a gift within the last 5 years, the penalty imposed on that gift would not even begin to run until you're physically in the nursing home and you are otherwise eligible for Medicaid, meaning you have basically less than $2,000 in assets. So what it's going to do is it's going to put people in the situation of being in a nursing home and not having a source of payment, because they'll have no money because they've already spent it down, and they won't be eligible for Medicaid because they've made this gift several years ago, which is now going to disqualify them.
Bernie, what if a senior makes a gift to a family member or, let's say, a friend? How will this be treated under the new law? And what about gifts to charity?
Well, I think this is one of those things where the government painted with a broad brush and didn't understand the consequences of the statute. The statute is pretty clear on its face that any gift, including a gift to a charity, is going to disqualify somebody for Medicaid. Supporters of the legislation will argue that there's included in the statute a hardship waiver exception. However, there's been a hardship exception in the law for many years, and as somebody who's been practicing in this area for two decades, I can tell you the examples or the situations where the government grants a hardship exemption are few and far between. Moreover, Steve, it's going to force people, and these are people who are going on Medicaid, to hire lawyers to argue at a hearing that a hardship exemption would apply. I think that's going to be a very difficult burden to overcome.
Well, could you get into this hardship provision a little bit more? How does it work?
Well, it says that if the application of the penalty period rule would deprive you of health care or any of the other necessities of life, then you can go to a hearing and appeal the Medicaid denial. The problem with the statute is it's very vague on where the hearing is held, whether or not it has to be a timely hearing. It doesn't say whether that means 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, so nobody understands really what they mean by that. And it doesn't give the standards for determining what is a hardship and what is not a hardship. And to me, Steve, if the state is going to be the one who's holding the hearing, and they're the ones who are doling out the Medicaid benefits, it seems to me it's going to be difficult for this to be an impartial hearing.
I was just thinking conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Are there any exceptions to this hardship thing?
Well, I mean, there's a unique provision that heretofore has not been in the law, which gives the nursing facility the ability to apply for hardship on behalf of a resident, assuming the resident consents. And this was put in by the nursing home lobby. They're very concerned here that they're going to be stuck with residents in the home who have no money and who have no Medicaid, and they're going to have to care for these people. And what that's going to do is it's going to drive up the cost of care for the other people in the home, because if you've got 100 people in the nursing home and only 80 of them are paying their full freight, what's going to happen is it's going to raise the rate for the people who are paying to cover the ones who don't have Medicaid and don't have any money. So the nursing home industry put in this provision that allows them to step in on behalf of a resident who's claiming hardship and go to the hearing. Some of my colleagues in the industry have actually referred to the Deficit Reduction Act as the Nursing Home Bankruptcy Act of 2005. I guess time will tell whether or not that holds true.
Well, speaking from a person who's got a mother in a nursing home, that's really bad news. Speaking of the word home and sweet home, will a person's house be, you mentioned that it's not exempt the way it was before. Go into that in more detail, please.
Well, the home has always been sacrosanct, and at least in terms of gaining access to Medicaid eligibility. It was a little misleading for people because it was sort of like you go to the drive-thru, you place your order, and then on the way out, you have to pay. It was like that with the home. Even though it was exempt on the way in and didn't disqualify you for Medicaid, when you died, the state had a right to put a lien on the house and to institute estate recovery proceedings. Now, they've put the stop sign up at the door. If your home is worth more than $500,000, you're not going to be eligible for Medicaid. And, you know, for people who live on the East Coast or the West Coast, it's not uncommon for a home to be purchased in the mid-50s or 60s and to, you know, to be purchased for $20,000, $30,000 in, you know, let's say 1962. And all of a sudden, that home is now worth $700,000, $800,000. It happens quite frequently in my area here in Westchester County in New York. And I've spoken to other colleagues across the country, and these people are not rich. They just were in a rapidly increasing and appreciating real estate market. They have very little other assets. They have the family home that they want to leave to their children and grandchildren, and now they're going to be forced to either take out a home equity line of credit or a reverse mortgage. And the problem, Steve, with a reverse mortgage is there's a due on sale clause if you're no longer living in the home for a year. So somebody who takes out a reverse mortgage to reduce their equity below the $500,000 goes into a nursing home, they're going to have to sell the home, which really defeats the whole purpose here of incentivizing taxpayers and citizens through mortgage interest deductions and otherwise to purchase a home. And hopefully at some point we can get this provision repealed.
Let's stay on this same area. Could you take out debt? Could you borrow to reduce your home equity value?
Yeah, you can. Most seniors are not working, so to take out a regular home equity line of credit is not an option. That they're living on Social Security, and the reverse mortgage is fraught with the problems I just mentioned. That you have to pay it back when you go into the nursing home, and of course, you know there are fees involved, and these are not wealthy people. But at least in the appropriate circumstance, you could take out a reverse mortgage.
How will annuities be treated under DRA?
Well, annuities are not being treated very favorably under DRA. In order for an annuity to not be considered an uncompensated transfer of assets, the state has to be named as the remainder beneficiary in the first position. And what I mean by that, Steve, is that when you buy the annuity from the insurance company, instead of having your family be the beneficiary, you have to name the Medicaid agency as the primary beneficiary to pay them back so that they can recoup the cost of any Medicaid expended on their behalf. And I think time will tell whether or not annuities remain a viable elder law planning technique under the DRA.
One last question, Bernie. Do the states have any say in how they'll carry out these changes in the law?
There is some flexibility. We have the February 8th date of enactment. There are many states that, pursuant to their own state Medicaid plans, require enabling legislation in that particular state in order for the federal changes to be effective. The DRA imposes a time limit, so basically by next year, 2007, all states need to be in compliance, and I think one of the open issues is the effective date in each particular state, whether or not it will be retroactive back to the federal date, or whether or not it will be effective in each particular state on the date that the state adopts its own enabling legislation. And the last time we had federal Medicaid legislation in 1993, many of the states, even though they adopted the federal legislation up until about a year and a half later, they were retroactive back to the federal enactment date. So I think that that's a distinct possibility in this case.
Bernie, that's been tremendously helpful. Bernie is a certified elder law attorney, founding member of Littman Crooks, LLP. Their offices are in New York City and White Plains, New York. Bernie, thank you so much.
Steve, always a pleasure.